Welcome back to the Mike Malloy Program. Brad Friedman of bradblog.com. In for Mike Malloy here on the 8th anniversary of 9/11. Interesting conversation with John Farmer, the senior counsel for the 9/11 Commission, author of the new book, The Ground Truth. So many questions, certainly, that I would have liked to have asked him. I know you would have liked to ask him, because the phones are still lit up, and I'm going to try to run through those calls, because, you know, asking questions is important. Fact of the matter is that while 2,998 folks died on 9/11, 5,167 U.S. troops have been killed in response to that since. And that does not, of course, count the hundreds of thousands who have been killed in other countries, perhaps more than a million, according to Johns Hopkins University. That does not count the numbers of those who have been injured for life, the price that we continue to pay. New York Post reported recently that the toll's still climbing for the folks, the first recovery folks, first response folks at the World Trade Center, that more than 800 World Trade Center rescue and recovery workers have died since 9/11, and cancer has killed at least 270 of those heroes, the new data shows. The figure also shows that 33 World Trade Center responders committed suicide. State researchers have tallied 817 deaths of workers and volunteers who toiled at the toxic Ground Zero site, or the Fresh Kills landfill, where the rubble was sifted. The toll goes on and on. The price continues to be paid for whatever the hell happened there. Asking questions about what happened there is our right, is our duty. And I'll tell you, I am sick and damn tired of hearing right-wingers talking about the freedoms of this country, and they won't allow the freedoms to ask questions about what the hell happened. I'm sick and tired of folks like Glenn Beck and Fox News telling us that we can't ask questions, that if you dare to ask a damn question about what happened on 9/11, you have no business working in the Obama administration, which is exactly what that disgrace of a human being Glenn Beck did to Van Jones, Obama's green jobs advisor, because he had the temerity to ask the questions that I have just asked, at least a few of them, to the senior counsel on the 9/11 Commission. He said he was not offended by them, and he spoke to them. He answered them. I didn't have time to do follow-ups, and frankly, I'm not skilled enough to do follow-ups on all of the detailed points of what happened on 9/11. But I wanted to get the answers on record, and I wanted to, you know, demonstrate that we can talk in this country. We can debate. We can discuss. We can ask uncomfortable questions. The exact same thing that Glenn Beck lied to his viewers and told them that he wanted to do. Told them that he believed in. Clearly, he doesn't believe in asking questions. Clearly, he doesn't believe in freedom. He believes only in fear. Speaking of fear, Rush Limbaugh lives in fear. Lives in fear that you'll notice what a coward he is. He's very disappointed today because you are all not out there cowering in fear of the boogeyman who's coming to get you. And he had to, the twists and turns and the tortured reason that he had to use today to find some reason to attack Barack Obama on 9/11 of all days. We're going to play some of that audio in a bit. This dude is twisted, pathetic, small, a disgrace. And the worst of it is, he's coming to you in every town and city in this country, across the airwaves, across hundreds and hundreds of stations, on the public airwaves, on your airwaves. He is sucking off the government teat so that he could lie to you. Heck of a job, Rush. Heck of a job, America. corporate America and those of us who allow it to continue? I won't, not if I have anything to say about it. And no, I won't live in fear. Never. We're going to take your calls, 877-520-1150. We got a lot to talk about. I know a lot of you folks on the line had questions for John Farmer. He was not able to stay around. Believe me, I wanted him to because I wanted him to get your questions. But in lieu of him being here and in hopes that it ticks off Glenn Beck, let's try to run through your thoughts. At least let's get them out on the air, and you can ask questions. You can hold me accountable. You can hold anybody accountable. That's what freedom is about. That's what America is about. That's what we claim to be about. You know that whole home of the brave thing? Yeah, well, a lot of these guys don't actually mean it. All right, let's. Let's go to Amira in Montclair, New Jersey. Welcome to the Mike Miller
Show. No, I'm in Montclair, California.
Oh, Montclair, California. I am so firing my screener after this show.
Thank you so much, Brad. You have echoed my sentiments exactly. I could not have put it better. Let me just scatter out a few little thoughts, and I have a couple questions for you that I would have liked to have asked Mr. Farmer. I do think that the introduction to his book sounds like a jacket blurb to get people to buy the book because all he did was defend the commission. There wasn't anything that he said that was untrue, at least according to the brief amount of time that you had with him.
Yeah.
Number one is that Phil Zelikow, who is hardly a nonpartisan, was in directly in charge of that entire commission report. He was responsible for the outcome of it. I understand that when the people went in to look at the documents, they were not allowed to either make copies or even take notes out of the White House.
Yeah, it was appalling. And the fact that a guy like Zelikow would be the executive director there, I did have some questions because when I announced that John Farmer was coming on, I got some from some real 9/11 folks who have investigated this stuff. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, I wasn't able to ask those questions. But if he was here, what is your question? And you're putting it out on the air. What would you want to know?
Okay, now here, just I'm going to
on the public airwaves, your airwaves, Amir.
Right, I'm going to take a couple of things. Number one, I would like to have asked him why did Tom Kaine and Lee Hamilton tell the public after the Nine Commission report was published that the Pentagon had lied to them? Number two, why is it that six of those nine hijackers are still alive? One is a pilot in Saudi Arabia. This has been documented, and it's in chain of command by Seymour Hersh. And my last question.
You're saying Seymour Hersh has alleged that six of the nine hijackers,
the 19 hijackers
are still alive?
Chain of command, and one is a Saudi pilot. He was a pilot in Saudi Arabia at the time of the 9/11 attacks. He is still there.
Okay.
Okay, and the third one was he completely flubbed the question by the previous caller about the 96 tapes that after a couple of hours after the so-called plane crashed and evaporated into the Pentagon, like the one that evaporated in Pennsylvania, which I find very hard to believe. Nevertheless, the FBI picked up 96 security tapes in the vicinity from the gas station, the hotels, and all in the area. And you, the questioner asked, have you seen the tapes? He said, yes. Is there evidence that a plane crashed?
Well,
he
said, hang on, Amir, hang on. To be fair, he said he saw photos, he says, and I don't know if he says he saw still photos and that there was a personal eyewitness accounts.
And then he said seen a plane in those photos in the vicinity. So when he said yes, there was evidence of a plane into the Pentagon, he waffled, he took that back, and he, answer was very poor.
Thanks for your thoughts, Amira. Do appreciate it.
Okay.
All right. Let me get to John in North Hollywood. Hey, John, welcome to the Mike Malloy program.
Well, you know, I think that last caller did have ample reason to doubt this farmer. I think he's sowing bad seed in this ground here, so to speak.
Okay.
Two reasons I'd like to give. I was going to talk about something else, but I listened to this guy talk.
Well, let's go to what you wanted originally to talk about, John, because I got a lot of folks I got to get to. I'm sorry.
He engaged in incompetence theories, in an incompetence theory of the
somewhat of the bureaucracy,
defense,
yeah.
the defense bureaucracy to try to get them off the hook.
Okay.
You know, you can't prove incompetence without proving intent, and that intent's a much more difficult burden of proof than complicity.
Okay.
In conspiracy, but he also said that the plane crashed at perpendicular into the Pentagon.
That's what he said.
Oh yeah. I don't buy that.
Okay.
Okay, because if it were perpendicular, there are two pieces. There wouldn't be a perfect hole in the side of the building. There'd be a great big hole in the ground.
Okay.
And also the parking camera on CNN that showed a little flying vehicle at round.
All right, John, I gotta move.
Level.
Gotta get to a break here, John.
That was not going perpendicular.
All right, I think he meant parallel down, sort of straight into the side. That was my understanding of it. We'll take more of your calls. We'll talk about that small, small, sad, sad man, Rush Limbaugh, and how the way he was spending 9/11. A whole lot more ahead. Brad Friedman in for Malloy. I took too long. All right. Well, we'll come back and we'll take these calls. I'm just a blogger. I don't know how this radio stuff works. Okay. Oh, let me mention, by the way, the space shuttle has landed safely minutes before airtime. We heard what we thought for a second could have been an earthquake or something, like a boom boom. Turns out that was the sonic boom from the space shuttle. From the nose and from the tail, because it landed out here at Edwards Air Force Base quite safely. That's one good story we can report tonight. We got a whole lot more straight ahead, which may not be quite as good, quite as happy. But hey, that's what the public airwaves are for. Use them or lose them. Brad Friedman, in for Malloy. Welcome back to the Malloy Program. Brad in for Malloy. Taking your calls at 877-520-1150 on this, the 8th anniversary of 9/11. You know it's the 8th anniversary because you can look at that rebuilt tower in New York City, our pride, our joy. Oh, wait, that hasn't... No, it's still a hole in the ground? Okay. Clarify one point here. Phil in the bradblog.com chat room clarifies that John Farmer actually had said that the plane in Pennsylvania came in perpendicular, and that was one of the reasons why there was no debris field. Is that a legitimate answer? I don't know. I don't, I'm not an expert in this stuff, but I do think asking these questions is important. Getting John Farmer's answers on the record as a senior counsel to the 9/11 Commission, getting those on the record so the discussion can continue, so that we can either get at the bottom of what happened or put an end to the questions. I'm not even going to call them conspiracy theories. I'm going to say to the questions. And if we can't talk in America, if we can't ask questions, if we're going to play, McCarthy-esque tactics on folks who joined the Obama administration because they dare to ask these questions, oh, I'm so never going to be invited to participate in the White House administration, apparently. Alexander in Playa del Rey, California, welcome to the Mike Malloy Program.
Hello there. Can you hear me okay?
I can. What's up?
I have a question. I'm a bit curious why these, and really progressive people, I'm talking people like Matt Taibbi, Noam Chomsky, Bill Maher, calls people who, he calls us conspiracy theory idiots.
Right.
I can't understand why they would call us idiots when we're asking a question about the facts on the ground.
Let me answer that question. Let me give you my thoughts on that, Alexander. Well, A, there's a lot of bad guys out there who just don't want to answer the question, who prefer the quote-unquote official story, prefer that you're in fear, prefer that you never ask questions. Then there are other good guys, and I consider both Taibbi and Marr to be good guys, but the fact of the matter is, when you're harangued, when you're harassed, when you're, you know, called part of the conspiracy, hell, I've been called part, I'm, you know, working for Rove, I don't, you know, cover 9/11 enough. The backlash can be pretty severe as far as, you know, it can put you off. So when you want to know these questions, I think you ask them politely. And if you don't get the answers, you can keep asking, but you need to get out there, dig yourself, investigate. And, you know, I think there's a lot of blowback, which tends to be counterproductive to the mission at hand, to the questions at hand. So I think we all need to step back. We got to ask questions. I'm all in favor of it. But when you start getting out there and accusing people of, you know, being crazy, you know, covering up for CIA and Karl Rove, when there's evidence to the contrary, surely, with guys like Taibbi and Marr, then you got to ask questions. Does that make any sense, Alexander?
Yeah, it does. It does make some sense. Now, Noam Chomsky also said they were fanatics. I emailed him.
And they are fanatics, and there may be a reason to be a fanatic. And, Alexander, I got to get to
it. Like David Ray Griffin is a fanatic?
He may be a fanatic, yeah.
Yeah, okay, I can understand that. I mean, I think what happens is that David Ray Griffin tells us the facts on the ground, but then he jumps to the conclusion and says
right.
It's an inside job.
That's right.
And that
part
we don't have any evidence
for. I couldn't agree with you more, Alexander. Thanks for that call. All right, Brad Friedman in for Malloy. Your calls, and yeah, Rush Limbaugh, that small, pathetic little man, straight ahead.
Jamming good with Webb and Gilly and the spiders from Mars. They played it left hand, but made it too far.
Get up, stand up, stand up for your rights.
Standing up for your rights here on the Mike Malloy program. Brad Friedman in for Mike. We're taking your calls at 877-520-1150. Agent 99 is manning the very lively chat room over there tonight at bradblog.com. Go to the top item, hit click here for more, and you'll be in that chat room. Participate in the conversation if you want. If you can keep up with it. That item, by the way, is right above the one that talks about what Ray McGovern, the 27-year CIA veteran, had to say last night right here on this show. It was quite chilling, frankly, when he said this guy. And Ray McGovern, you know, gave presidential daily briefings directly to guys like George Bush Sr., and what he had to say, frankly, scared the hell out of me last night. He said that, let me just leave you with this thought. And that is that I think Leon Panetta, director of the CIA, and to a degree President Obama are afraid. I never thought I'd hear myself saying this, he said. I think they're afraid of the CIA. He then went on to allude to the assassination of JFK, which is written about in a new book by James Douglas. And he said that he thought both Panetta and the president were afraid of these guys because these guys have a whole lot to lose if justice takes its course, he said, in regard to the CIA torture investigation, which he points out have penalties such as capital punishment because some 100 or more detainees died in custody, said Ray McGovern, 27-year CIA veteran, says there is reason for Obama to be scared of the CIA. Don't know about you, but that scared the hell out of me. But we are without fear and pressing ahead here, and we are going to get to more of your calls about 9/11 on the 9/11 anniversary. But first, I was listening to this small, little, pathetic man, this outrageous man today, by the name of Rush Limbaugh. You may have heard of him because he is on hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of stations across your public airwaves. That stations, by the way, get for free. They lease them from the government, from you, so that Rush Limbaugh can make just unbelievable statements. We got a bunch of clips here. Obama was speaking today, commemorating 9/11. He declared it a national day of service, and Rush Limbaugh had to find something wrong with that, even on 9/11. Absolutely pathetic. Here's a quick clip.
Now, the manner in which President Obama has chosen to commemorate 9/11, the day the country was attacked, and our first retaliation was launched from onboard Flight 93, is an outrage. It is an insult to the memory of innocent Americans who were attacked and who died 8 years ago today. The manner in which Obama has chosen to commemorate 9/11 is an insult to the citizen warriors aboard Flight 93.
A day of service is an insult and an outrage to those who died on Flight 93. Sorry, Rush. Your days are over, pal. Your days of scaring this country are over, pal. Yeah, a day of service. Service to your nation. You familiar with that, sir? No, that's right. You're not. You chose not to serve. You got out of the draft because of a boil on your ass. Coward. Got clip number two, Tone.
Before I go further, I want you to hear how President Obama is commemorating 9/11. This could be the most outrageous moment yet of the Obama presidency, twisting 9/11 into a nationalist day of service to the state.
And this first national day of service and remembrance, we can summon once more that ordinary goodness of America to serve our communities, to strengthen our country, and to better our world. Let us renew our common purpose. Let us remember how we came together as one nation, as one people, as Americans, united not only in our grief, but in our resolve to stand with one another, to stand up for the country we all love.
This is an outrage to take this day and to twist it into a nationalist day of service to the state and to our communities.
Uh-huh.
Is insulting.
Oh, is it, Rush?
It's insensitive.
Is it, Rush?
It is beyond the pale, but it's typical of who Obama is.
Yeah, who Obama is. A man who gives a damn about his country. Speaking of twisting, to twist the words. Now, the reason I'm playing you the clips, these are actually clips when you hear Obama here speaking. These are the clips that Rush Limbaugh has pulled out to show you how outrageous it is. The outrageous things that Barack Obama had to say. Things like, we should remember this day by serving in our communities. No, he did not say service to the state. Not, by the way, that there's anything wrong with service to the state. That does happen to be what folks in the military do. Folks in the CIA do. These folks that Rush Limbaugh has spent years telling us that he supports, when in truth, he doesn't give a rat's ass about anybody in the U.S. military, anybody in the CIA. This is about politics, plain and simple, from a small, pathetic man.
The president's call for community service demeans what happened on 9/11. It is a distraction from what was and is important. So I want to do two things.
Uh-huh.
To try to distract from the insulting, demeaning remarks of the President of the United States today, calling on us to all serve our state.
Oh, insulting.
And our community.
Oh, how demeaning.
I'm going to read you the Gettysburg Address.
Demeaning.
And then I'm going to read you Todd Beamer's story.
Todd Beamer's story? What the hell does that have to do with serving in our community? How twisted do you have to be to try to find something, anything to hate on Barack Obama? And believe me, there is plenty. We have spent the whole damn week criticizing Barack Obama, criticizing the way he's approached health care and the way he's approached accountability and torture investigations and everything else. But how twisted, how sick, how lost and lonely do you have to be to take these kind of twisted shots at a president of the United States on 9/11 asking for folks to stand up and serve their communities? Remember, when you hear Obama here speaking, these are the clips that Rush has pulled to demonstrate to you how outrageous and evil Barack Obama is.
Here's another portion of his remarks.
This may be the greatest lesson of this day, the strongest rebuke to those who attacked us, the highest tribute to those taken from us, that such sense of purpose need not be a fleeting moment. It can be a lasting virtue. For through their own lives and through you, the loved ones that they left behind, the men and women who lost their lives 8 years ago today leave a legacy that still shines brightly in the darkness. And it calls on all of us to be strong and firm and united. That is our calling today and in all the Septembers still to come.
Remember how he started these remarks. On this first National Day of Service and Remembrance, we can summon once more that ordinary goodness of America to serve our communities, to strengthen our country,
right,
and to better our world.
Oh, it sounds good to me.
A National Day of Service.
Good.
When brave Americans sacrifice their lives so the rest of us can live and live free, I don't think of a National Day of Service to the state.
Of course you don't. They gave their lives in service to the state, you jackass. How pathetic is this man? Now, we know he's pathetic, but he is allowed on the airwaves, on your public airwaves. Does anybody give a damn about that? Does anybody give a damn that he is on hundreds and hundreds of stations? Meanwhile, folks out there who are asking questions, trying to tell the truth, I'm one of them. I get to sit in for a few hours every now and again when Mike Malloy will have me. No, I don't have a show. But I'm glad to be here when Mike will have me. Mike is on a few dozen stations. Randy is out there. Tom is out there. Stephanie Miller is out there. If you can find them, have trouble finding Rush Limbaugh? I don't think so. We drive all across this nation, and from town to town, we have to adjust the radio to find something to listen to as we're driving. Guess what? No problem finding Rush Limbaugh and Sean Hannity and Glenn Beck to twist and to turn and to hate and to take something like a 9/11 commemoration and turn it into, I don't know what the hell he was turning it into. The dude is sick. We know that. But what the hell is he doing on our airwaves criticizing statements like this?
On this first National Day of Service and Remembrance, we can summon once more that ordinary goodness of America to serve our communities, to strengthen our country, and to better our world. Let us renew our common purpose. Let us remember how we came together as one nation, as one people, as Americans, united not only in our grief, but in our resolve to stand with one another, to stand up for the country we all love.
Are you appalled? Because Rush Limbaugh was. That's what he played on his show today to tell us how terrible Barack Obama was. He then went on to say, let's go to 7 here, Tony. He then had to twist and turn to find something, anything, any reason, and he dragged in all kinds of things. Joe Wilson and Congressman Joe Wilson, the one who called him a liar the other night. Go ahead, play that clip.
And they today tell us that the hatred and vitriol resides now in the voice of a lone congressman from South Carolina, Joe Wilson.
He resides in you,
who
Rush.
Who simply could not stand being lied to by the President of the United States in a fraudulent, demeaning, disgusting address. He has now compounded the fraud, the disgust, and the indignity of his remarks on Wednesday night with the proclamation on the 8th anniversary of 9/11 that this is the first National Day of Service to the state. I'm simply appalled.
Appalled or appalling? Rush, you are appalling. Can you imagine if George Bush had given that exact same address on 9/11, had called for a National Day of Service, had the temerity, hang on, hold that for a second, had the temerity to ask people to stand together, to talk about the legacy that still shines brightly and calls on all of us to be strong, firm, and united. Rush would have sang his praises, would have called him the king of the world. Barack Obama dared to do the same thing, and these idiots, these anti-American haters, these terrorists of the airwaves, will twist, will turn, will try to do anything they can to tear down Barack Obama, to tear down the Democrats, to tear down so much of what these guys are trying to do to make things better. Whether they're succeeding or not, doesn't matter. Anything out there, they are against it. Here is the new National Republican Committee theme song.
I don't know what they have to say. It makes no difference anyway. Whatever it is, I'm against it. No matter what it is or who commenced it, I'm against it. Your proposition may be good, but let's have one thing understood. Whatever it is, I'm against it. And even when you've changed it or condensed it, I'm against it. I'm opposed to it. On general principles, I'm opposed to it.
He's opposed to it.
Turns out Rush Limbaugh is the real Marxist, apparently. Thanks, Groucho. At the Republican theme song. More right after this on The Mueller Show.
I'm against it.
The old devil. They'll do, and it's true right now, like it was back then. The old devils are at it again.
Nice, Tony. Tony is the best damn engineer in radio. I just want to get that out right here and now. He's been with me all week long, and in case I'm not able to sing your praises sufficiently at the end of the show when I run up against the clock, let me say it now. You rock, dude. Tony Sorrentino. He rocks. So there you have it. Undeniable proof that Rush Limbaugh is, in fact, a Marxist. And if you're just joining us, of course, I'm Brad Friedman of BradBlog.com, sitting in for Mike Malloy on the Mike Malloy program. And if you don't know, if you didn't hear the absolute proof that Rush Limbaugh is a Marxist, it can no longer be denied. Then you can check the podcast later at MikeMalloy.com or at BradBlog.com. We'll have it up tonight for you. All right. In the meantime, he's out there bitching and moaning about Barack Obama politicizing 9/11 somehow by asking for a day of service to your community. He thinks it's outrageous that they're politicizing. Well, guess what? Do I have time? Yeah. Okay. Glenn Beck tomorrow. Speaking of small, pathetic, sad men. This is the 9/12 project that Glenn Beck will be doing tomorrow that he invented. Tomorrow, right-wingers, protesters will gather in Washington, D.C. for a march to oppose health reform, President Obama, corruption, and an overall conversion to a socialist-style government. The event schedule was intentionally scheduled for September 12 to coincide with the anniversary of the day following the September 11 attacks. And it was conceived largely by Fox News' Glenn Beck. Beck, the McCarthyite Fox News talk show host, I concur, this is from Think Progress, by the way, who has lost dozens of advertisers for calling Obama a racist. Dozens. He's lost about 50 or 60. He is a relentless promoter of his 9/12 project. However, most of the day-to-day organizing has been orchestrated by a now familiar set of lobbyists and Republican operatives who have helped plan the anti-Obama grassroots Tea Party event since February. So they have been planning since February, since a month after Barack Obama was elected. They have been planning for all that time to be outraged and to use the anniversary of 9/11 to express their political outrage. By the way, in the past, I think progress goes on, Beck has said that he hates, that's a quote, he hates the families of the victims of the September 11 terrorist attacks. In 2007, Beck criticized the supporters of the Ron Paul Revolution, who did a fundraiser on Guy Fawkes Day, saying, quote, "It's really not the way I would go, tying my movement in with a historical terrorist attack, especially in post-9/11 America." Did you get that? It's really not the way he would go, tying in a movement with a historical terrorist attack, especially in post-9/11 America. And yet, tomorrow, he'll be celebrating 9/11 with his 9/12 initiative. Have I mentioned lately that these are pathetic, small, sad human beings, and they shouldn't be on the airwaves? Actually, they can be on the airwaves. That's fine with me. But for every 3 hours of Rush, let's put 3 hours of Tom Hartman on right after him on every damn station. Fair enough? There's your fairness doctrine. No, we don't want to take you off the air, Rush. Glenn, Sean, we would just like to be fair and balanced. Ever heard of that? Brad Friedman in for Mike Malloy. Much more. Stick with us.